Hello, and welcome to the Minimap Cast. It's a podcast about video games. My name is Jeremy. Minimap Cast is the premier podcast of minimap.com.au, an Australian independent game site. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you tell your friends and give the show a positive rating wherever you listen to your podcast. It does make a huge difference to us, and it only takes a few seconds. And if you want to get notified every time there's a new episode released, make sure to follow us on social media. That is at minimap.au on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Twitch. And Minimap also wants to say thank you to Shook for letting us use the Moog Model D Improv as the music for the Minimap cast. And you can listen to more of Shook's music at shook.bandcamp.com. Carrie was going to join this week, but unfortunately he's still ill. He said, what was the words he said to me earlier today? He said basically that he should be seen and not heard because he's still coughing and his throat is very sore, which I think is a very funny thing to say when talking about if he's going to be on a podcast or not. It just occurred to me that because he said that, I really wish I had just an image to put up of his face right here so we could at least see him. That's probably going to be something I'm going to do for next time. Welcome to the show. This episode is mostly going to be talking about one topic, which includes a game that I've been playing and sort of like news of the week. It's sort of, there's a little bit of serendipity that they're both directly related. Also, I apologize in advance if this episode has me stumbling over my words just a tad. Last night in my sleep, while I was laying in bed, slumber, I bit my tongue really badly. And so I'm tripping over my tongue a little bit today. Every word I've said, every sentence I've spoken today has resulted in a little bit of just a slight hurdle on the right-hand side of my mouth. So I do apologize for that if I do trip over a word here or there, or it sounds like I'm slurring. I promise I'm sober this episode. It's just more the tongue is moving at a speed that is different to my mouth. Probably the first time I've ever bit my tongue on this show. So this week's episode is mostly about the PlayStation 5 Pro, even PlayStation 5 Professional. And what I've been playing this week, this fortnight, which is, at least what I'm going to talk about this episode for what I've been playing, which is Astro Bot. I think the way I'm gonna talk about this whole 14 days of PlayStation's life this past 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about Astro Bot first, and then I'm going to talk about what PlayStation have done so strangely over the past 14 days. So starting off with Astro Bot, if you don't know, Astro Bot is a 3D platformer made by Team Asobi. They are known for previous Astro Bot games, such as Astro's Playroom, which was the PlayStation 5 pack-in title, Playroom VR, and I think it was just called The Playroom on PlayStation 4. Basically, they're known now as this team that makes really tight third-person platformers, sort of the PS2, PS1-ish, sort of not quite as much, PS2 era, with like a PlayStation flavor to it. They feature, well, at least recently, they've been featuring a lot of cameos, been featuring a lot of references to previous PlayStation hardware and software. They've been acting as sort of a celebration of the brand as a whole recently. Astro Bot, which is the name of the most recent one, came out on September 6th, and it came out to like thunderous reviews of like, this is an immediate Game of the Year contender, and this game is a reason to feel like people who play PlayStation games for such a long time, like have been not vindicated is not the right word, but like it's a celebration of it. It's a reason to feel like, oh yeah, like this is a place where you can play some really good games. And Astro Bot honestly is a phenomenal game. It's one of the best games I've played this year. The platforming is like delightful. The level design is incredible. I basically was smiling ear to ear all the way through. It's a tremendous game. I adore this game. It is sitting very high in my Game of the Year ranking. I think that the pack and title, Astro's Playroom, is I think probably a 10 out of 10 for what it is. Like, it's a small game. Like, it's not a tremendously long game, the first one that came out on the PS, that came with the PS5 even. It'll only take you a few hours to get through. But it was such a good celebration of the console that you had, in a way. Like, it used the PS5 features and used the PlayStation 5 as a setting really well. Each of the four zones in the first one on the PS5 represented like four big pieces of the, like, four big staples of the hardware of the PS5, and used the controller rumble and trigger features really, really, really intelligently. There was a really good feeling to those, and then we were sort of wondering, like, you know, like are they going to make another one? Are they going to make another full size one? And then I think it was late last year they announced, yes, like, they're going to do another one, and it came out the other day, and it's just great. It's so good. The platforming is so fun. The story is very silly. I think it's not without flaw, but the tricky thing is the flaws that I think the game has are not quite the game's fault, but there are issues where I think that there is a funny celebration of this game, that perhaps PlayStation as a brand and as an ecosystem doesn't quite deserve anymore or in its current state. I'm in the middle of writing a piece for it. Like, I think I'm going to have that out in the next couple of days. However, I think it is strange that the PlayStation 5, the first PlayStation 5 Astrobot game, was this big celebration of all of this PlayStation IP, hardware, software, all of that stuff. And this one is sort of the same thing, except it's been 4 years almost since that console and that game first launched, and there's almost no difference in the slate of games that have come out. There've been, like, you know, there's been another Horizon game, there's been another God of War game, but I was looking at all of the new IP that PlayStation have released since those two titles, and there have been two games that I could tell that were placed new IP published by PlayStation. One of those was Returnal, which makes a small cameo of one of the Astrobots in the game. You collect the Astrobots. And the other one is Concord, which we will talk about later. Overall, I think the game is great. Like, I recommend basically anyone who's got a PlayStation 5 to pick it up. But I think it represents it represents PlayStation kind of warts and all, where they are looking back quite a lot at everything that has come beforehand, and the PlayStation 5 is still the promise of a console that will have a whole bunch of great stuff in it without really delivering on it as of yet. Like, there are new great games on the PlayStation, but there are no new games on the PlayStation in that regard that are great. There's a lot of sequels, a lot of remakes, and Returnal, which, like, a lot of people say is a great game. I don't think it was great, but a lot of people really like that game. Totally fair. It's a very strange position to be in. The game does these really cute homage levels. Some of them I think are better than others. The ones that I think are homages to games that we haven't seen in a long time, without really getting too moment spoilery, if you care about that, about what those are, I think that the ones that are older are more exciting homages. And the ones that are newer, I don't feel like maybe deserve that spot in that game, or the gameplay in that area also wasn't super exciting. It was some strange choices in there. Some very, what feels like, and again, I have no insight into this at all, what feels like very, not corporate mandated, but like corporate encouraged decisions based around some of the decisions or some of the choices in those homage levels. Strange, kind of all the way through. It looks tremendous. It is a very bright, colorful game. There's a lot of really good like texture work on like the surface detail. Like they do a lot of the replication of like a lot of the hardware in the game. Looks really good. The music is still cute as hell. Like a lot of really fun with physics stuff. Like there's some moments in the game where you're standing in a cave that has jewels raining down on the Astrobot, and like it's a seemingly infinite amount of them, and you can start to like spin in place and hit them, and you're hitting all of these physics objects that are colliding with other physics objects, and they're all reacting in a way that is really splendid. It's a really fun game. It's a really fun game. I platinumed it 2 days after it came out. Like, I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't an incredible game. I don't really platinum that many games, so for me to actually sit and do it is kind of maybe the best recommendation I could possibly give for any game is that I sat there and I went, I want every single part of this. I want to experience every part of it. And I did it, and I don't regret it. It was great. Definitely recommend it. It's a terrific, terrific game. It's currently the highest rated PS5 game on Metacritic that isn't a DLC. It's number two all time on the console. Number two of 2024 on the PS5, sitting just below Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree DLC. And sitting at, I think, number four on Metacritic overall, which I will just double check just to make sure. But I believe it's just below like The Witcher 3 and some other games which are like actually past generation games would have been brought forward. Best games on Metacritic 2025. If I filter it by all years, then yeah, it's currently sitting at number four. My mistake before, The Witcher was just below Astrobot at number five. Astrobot's number four. Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree is number three. Baldur's Gate 2 and Elden Ring number one. That makes sense. Like, they're sitting at 96 on Metacritic, Astrobot's 94. But yeah, if you look at just this year that was released, it is number two, just below Shadow of the Erdtree, which is not a standalone product. That is a DLC of a game. So, but yeah, it's excellent. I bought that controller so I could play that game with that controller, and it was cute as hell. I love Astrobot. I hope that the next Astrobot has next to no focus on other PlayStation IP, and I hope it's all about just actually Astrobot. But if you want some more information on how I feel about that, maybe check the website in a few days when I have published that article. All right, so that's basically what I've been playing this week. I've been playing some Star Wars Outlaws here and there, but I haven't played enough to really have a strong opinion on it just yet. I'm still getting there. It's quite a slow game, or at least how I'm playing it currently. But the other topic that I really wanted to talk about is PlayStation overall over the past 14 days. So it's been a funny couple of weeks for PlayStation. I'm going to go in chronological order, starting from the September the 3rd, which I think is technically still 2 weeks ago, because they've had a strange week, 2 weeks, and I think it's worth talking about. So, starting off, on September 3rd, after a pretty disastrous launch, Firewalk Studios, which is a first-party studio owned by PlayStation, has announced that the video game Concord will be taken offline. Now, Concord had released in, I believe, the October 23rd is when that game released. Concord is a multiplayer shooter, hero-based shooter, kind of akin to like a Counter-Strike-esque, but you've got heroes with abilities and stuff. It didn't... Like, a lot has been said about Concord over the past 2 weeks, but basically it's a game that has struggled to build any audience. It struggled to really generate any excitement around it. It was not a game that a lot of people were excited about leading into the launch, and that certainly transferred across over to its launch on both PC and PlayStation. It cracked, I think, like just under 700 concurrent players on PC as a peak, which is kind of a disaster. That is... Like, there's a lot of conversation around, like, concurrent players, a lot of stupid conversation that is, like, meaningless, especially when talking about single-player games. When talking about multiplayer games, it is kind of important because you need to have a certain amount of people that can play the game for you to really get into matches. And it just didn't generate an audience, unfortunately, for Firewalk Studios. So, on September 3rd, they did announce that the game was going to be taken offline, and it was on September 6th. There was a lot of, it had become quite a punching bag online, especially, with, people discovering that one of the fastest ways to generate XP was to die immediately and throw a match. And because you get at least a set base XP bonus for completing a match. And that ended up being one of the fastest ways to actually generate XP to level up. People were trying to get the platinum before the game was brought down because that's a challenge and people wanted that challenge, and that's kind of funny to have if you do. My understanding is that 69 people managed to get the platinum before the game was brought down. That's funny. But yeah, so even if you were trying to play the game at the end, trying to find some fun in that, you kind of probably were not going to be able to get that because people were just throwing the match. So, yep, it was brought down. September 6th. Also September 6th is when Astrobot launched. So PlayStation had this bizarre roller coaster of they're about to launch a game and it kind of doesn't really make it out of the air. And then suddenly Astrobot launches and it becomes one of the highest rated games of the year. So they've got this bizarre whiplash of this new game that PlayStation has, which granted, was not an exciting game for a lot of people, but was a new thing that PlayStation could launch with, and then it was brought down while Astrobot came out. The dichotomy of the two, to have a game being taken offline and Astrobot being a game about celebrating PlayStation's previous IP, like, warts and all, to an extent. Like, there weren't complete duds as represented in the game Astrobot, but there were a lot of games that were kind of PlayStation deep cuts, things that you sort of really wouldn't know about unless you were there around that time. Stuff like Vib Ribbon, like, there's a BuzzBot. Like again, these aren't, like, overall failures of games by any stretch of the imagination, but they are games that no one has spoken about in quite a long time. For Astrobot to come out and celebrate PlayStation on the same day as them bringing down one of their games that perhaps maybe didn't get a chance. Like, I don't know if Concord was ever going to succeed in the state that it was currently in, but we'll at least never know at the current stage. They've said that they might bring back Concord in another form, one way or another, in like a perhaps a different game mode or in some different form. I don't personally believe they will do that. I think they will give that a go, but I don't think that they will look at that and go, that's a thing that we really want to salvage. I reckon they'll look at trying something else. But yeah, for Astrobot to come out the day Concord goes down is just, like, quite a lot, we'll say. So PlayStation went from quite a low low to quite a high high. And then on September 10th, 4 days after Astrobot released, there was a technical test. Technical presentation hosted by Mark Cerny, the architect of the PlayStation. That's the wrong video. There we go. talking about the newly announced PlayStation 5 Pro, the PlayStation 5 Professional. This piece of hardware has been rumored and speculated for quite a while now. We finally got a presentation from Mark. I think it was a 10 or so minute presentation where he went into specifics about a lot of the hardware that was going to go into this new machine, and what they were sort of aiming for with the PS5 Pro. Now, again, as I said before when talking about Astrobot, there have been not many new games that are new IP on the PlayStation 5. There have been a handful of sequels and a remake or two along the way for the PlayStation 5, but there haven't been a whole lot of games that, like, you've looked at and gone, this is really pushing the hardware in a new and exciting way. There have been moments of that, definitely. I think that Ratchet & Clank is one of the first big ones. The teleporting mechanic in Ratchet & Clank, where you're, like, using these rifts to jump around levels and swapping between parallel universes sort of on the fly, was really impressive. Obviously, both Horizon Forbidden West and God of War Ragnarok were incredibly visually impressive games. But again, the Ratchet & Clank game was another Ratchet & Clank game. Horizon and God of War were very much Horizon and God of War games. And they also released on the previous generation of consoles. Not Ratchet & Clank, but Horizon and God of War did. Returnal is one that did not launch on the PlayStation 4, but I don't believe there was a lot in that game that made me think they couldn't have been a version of that game that launched on the PS4 Pro in one way or another. So what is the PS5 Pro? It's a new PlayStation 5. It is a... The console's aiming for three specific things. Now, I've pulled this out of a press start article. But the three things that it's really hitting is it's got an upgraded GPU. It says here, with the PS5 Pro, we are upgrading to a GPU that has 67% more compute units than the current PS5 console and 28% faster memory. Overall, this enables up to 45% faster rendering for gameplay, making the experience much smoother. They are aiming for advanced ray tracing. We've added even more powerful ray tracing that provides more dynamic reflections and refraction of light. This allows the rays to be cast at double and at times triple the speeds of current PS5 consoles. And AI-driven upscaling. We're also introducing PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution, or PSSR, PISSR, an AI-driven upscaling that uses machine learning-based technology to provide super sharp image clarity by adding an extraordinary amount of detail. So they're aiming for just a more powerful PS5, right? This is a PlayStation 5 that is going to hopefully make games run faster, make games run at a higher resolution, make games run at a higher frame rate, and give a greater image clarity overall for certain games as well. Again, the thing about this console is that before I get to the price, at no point in my opinion throughout the entire life cycle of the PlayStation 5 have I felt that my PlayStation 5 has not been good enough. At no point was I looking at any of the games that have come out that I've loved, like Ratchet & Clank, like Demon's Souls, have I gone, oh, I just really wish this machine was more powerful. What I've wished is that I wish there were more games for me to play on this console. I wish there were more games that utilized parts of this console in ways that were more creative, as opposed to just turning the realism dial up just a bit higher. There are instances that I've seen of what looks like a greater clarity of image. Specifically, an example that John Linneman was using on Twitter was Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. that game, I think, when it came out, there was a weird kind of ugliness to part of the image. I think that visually, it's a really good looking game. There are certainly moments that in that game where I was like, wow, this is incredible art direction that is really making this scene stand out. But there was always this shimmering and this double and triple and quadruple effect on objects that were moving because the image just wasn't clear. It was using a lot of this ghosting effect was prominent throughout the entire game. And it made let down some moments that could have really popped with perhaps a more powerful machine or at least a more efficient running game. Not every game on the PS5 has this, so I'm not going to say that the only way for that game to look better is for it to run on a more powerful machine. But if they had if that game had been developed differently, I wish that there was a way for that game to maybe not run at as high a resolution, but also have that shimmering effect reduced, because I think that the shimmering effect, especially in Rebirth, was too high at times. Especially when games like Horizon, which is on the screen currently, I don't remember having that effect almost at all. And that game looks tremendous. I think that one of the biggest issues with this console is that there just isn't a whole lot of reasons for it to exist still yet. There are moments in games that you go, this can only exist on the new generation of consoles. But most games are still coming out on multi-platform. The consoles overall, I still haven't got to the PS5 Pro price. These consoles are still very expensive consoles. And in a cost of living crisis all over the world, it's really hard to justify a lot of the time. And the PS5 Pro costs $1,200 AUD. That is an exorbitant amount of money. And on top of that, it doesn't come out with a disk drive. You have to purchase that separately. If you want to purchase it with a disk drive, which is a separate purchase, that will cost you $1,360. $1,360 Australian dollars. That is just too much money. I don't think that price is worth it for anyone. There will be benefits to this console, but you are going to start reaching diminishing returns for games when they're not quite looking at this as the reason to make games. Some simulation games, the newest Naughty Dog games, Guerrilla, Santa Monica, you're gonna get some benefit, but it is a diminishing return benefit after a while. And I just hope that they start to look at more creative ways of using the hardware as opposed to just making the pretty games, the more realistic looking pretty games, look more realistic looking. It's not exciting as of yet, I think, to me and to a lot of people. It's a very awkward position to be in. I don't really know why they have released this console in the way that it is. I don't know why they showed it off in the way that they had with no new games attached to it. I'm not saying you need a new game to go along with it, but showing off games that are 2 or 3 years old now, Last of Us Part 2, that's a PS4 game. I know there's a PS5 version of it, but that's a PS4 game. Using this as some of your benchmarking, is there not something here that's more exciting? Give us a tech demo of perhaps something that, we know that Naughty Dog is sort of in the middle of a changeover of product, considering they canned their multiplayer thing, but give us a reason to consider this, because I've seen no one in my circles on Twitter, online, and that's not a small circle, like it's not quite an echo chamber by any stretch of the imagination, it's just games media circles going, hell yeah, I'm thrilled for this. I don't know who it's for. I don't know who that price point is for. I guess it's for the people that already have a tremendous amount of money that will happily just drop it without really any worry about it. It's very strange. It's very strange indeed. And for that much money, like, I can't afford that. Like, I spend so much money on game stuff. I spend so much money on game stuff. I've got a full-time job, which I'm happy with. That's just too much money. What a bizarre 14 days PlayStation has had. Such a roller coaster of, like their multiplayer game is getting shut down and Astrobot is, like, one of the greatest games of the year. And then this piece of hardware is, like, is thing. And then, like, I don't know what comes next for them. I guess what comes next is Until Dawn, which is, again, another PS5 remake of a PS4 game that no one really asked for and is kind of probably only really coming out because that movie is coming out. And again, who asked for a movie about Until Dawn? Just bizarre, bizarre place they are currently in. It is really hard to feel like there is a... It's really hard to feel like there's a sense of, like, direction where this console, this company is going. Perhaps this is still remnants of the Jim Ryan era. I know the moment Herman Holster's taken over, we got a whole lot more Horizon products, and that's hilarious if it weren't so dire. Yeah, I don't know. It's deeply strange. Finally, not quite related to PlayStation, but something that I still wanted to bring up. Things aren't much better over on the other side of that fence. Xbox announced 650 layoffs. 650 people were going to be laid off soon. That's terrible. Microsoft Gaming is laying off 3% of its global workforce, which is about 650 employees, in addition to post-Activision Blizzard cuts. That's the headline from Variety. There's detail in that article, but, like, it's like that acquisition should have never happened. There should be government entities that looks into this and says, well, this is not a thing that should have occurred if you're going to continue to lay off hundreds and hundreds of people. Like, PlayStation has no direction in when where it's going. Xbox has got less, like, the one of the most, like, mind-boggling leadership directions that Phil Spencer has led this company under. Look, it's made Microsoft a very rich company and has absolutely irreparably damaged the industry in ways that we still haven't fully reckoned with yet because we're still reeling from this $69 billion acquisition. Terrible things over there to lay off 650 people. There's no good in this world. There's no good in this world. Yeah, that is dreadful. And I'm sure in the next couple of weeks, there will be some more dreadful news to talk about. In the meantime, that's it for this episode. I apologize if it was a bit of a downer, but they're just like PlayStation, like the Astrobot was great. Go play that. It's really good. It'll make you not think about the outside world too much. If it does make you think about part of the outside world, then, like, that's okay. It certainly did with a lot of its weird, like, obsession with being a clean branded company. But again, for more of those words, check out the website in a couple of days. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Minimap Cast. That does bring us to the end. The best way to make sure you don't miss the next one is to follow us on all of our social media at MinimapAU. You can follow me personally at Obi-Wan Jez. You can also head to minimap.com.au for everything else Minimap related. And Minimap is completely independent and funded entirely almost out of our own pocket. To help keep the lights and mics on, you can support us by becoming a patron. For only $5 a month, you can know that you are indeed supporting the show, and you will also gain access to some of our special bonus features, like taking trips down memory lane, watching old E3 coverage from yesteryear. Head on over to patreon.com/minimapau, and remember, it's cheaper than a latte with oat milk. And as the days go on, as always, that gets just more and more. Didn't hit the outro button. That gets more and more true as lattes get more and more expensive. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time.